My dad's desire through CWH was to glorify and honor God, help people come to know Jesus, and comfort God's people. We hope today's message titled, I Walk with the King, will be of assurance to you as Pastor urges us to let Jesus lead and guide our steps.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Every week, here we are, coming back for all. We're in our 40th year, if you can imagine it. And God has provided our needs all the way along. And so we're just thankful for everybody who prayed for us and who gave, and all who join us, and we just have a wonderful time. And by shortwave radio, we cover 90% of the world's population, and we're also on international television, so we're so glad that we give the good news of the gospel. And today I'm going to be preaching about walking with the King, walking with Jesus, all the difference in the world, and you can have Jesus in your heart, and you can have him as close as your very soul, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. It's the only way to live. Well, that's really the reason, well, not the full reason for preaching the gospel, because we also preach the gospel to encourage God's people. You know, God told Jeremiah, comfort ye my people. And so that's part of our ministry also, but mostly bringing people to Jesus. But I want to share some of the letters. All of you like to have these letters. And so here's one from St. Louis Park, Minnesota. And they say, the letters make us feel closer to others, like we're hearing from Christian friends along with you and your staff. I hope a lot of people pass them on to someone who needs to find God and his salvation through our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. And that does, I think these letters do, they kind of tie us together, bring us together as a family, and so we can rejoice in the wonderful Savior. And then here's Salem, South Dakota. Oh, listen to this one. I am a Vietnam veteran. I carry a lot of sadness. And I think of these men and women who are in the military, not just the United States, but the military people all over the world. They carry a lot of sadness. It's a hard life. We ought to pray for them and pray that they'll know Jesus, because he'll help them in their time of trouble. And so here's a dear brother. I am a Vietnam veteran. I carry a lot of sadness. As I watch the Christian Worship Hour, I have tears flow down my cheeks. But I feel God's comfort through your blessed Worship Hour. We are blessed to have your Worship Hour on TV. Thank you, Pastor. God's blessing to you, sincerely. And oh, I just prayed for this man. And you know, God tells us that when we open our heart to him, he'll come into our hearts. And he says he'll live in our hearts. And by his Holy Spirit, he will strengthen us and keep us and help us through the hard times of life. And some of you, I know, have tough times. Here's Knoxville, Iowa. Just wanted to thank you for your down-to-earth sermons on Sunday. My 94-year-old mom and I watch you every Sunday. She just finished radiation therapy, and without your messages every Sunday, she says she wouldn't have made it through 35 treatments. And I thought, here's a dear sister, 94 years old. I'm 97, so I got her beat a little bit. And she's gone through 35 treatments. And she says she couldn't have done it without our program. Well, that means it's the Bible. Our program is the Bible. It's God's word. That's where the comfort comes from. And as we preach the word of God, he does comfort hearts. And he does help us through. And there may be some of the rest of you going through some hard times. You wonder how you're ever going to make it. You don't know if you can live another day. Just live one day at a time. And lean on Jesus, because he careth for you. He says, give me your burdens and give me your cares, and I'll help you with them. One other letter, Newport, Oregon. We requested three of your Heart of a Shepherd DVDs. Oh, we should have asked for more. We were blessed in watching it and then passed our three on to other fortunate folks. Others would like it too, so please send five more. So she's talking about the Heart of a Shepherd, and that's a one-hour film that we've just produced. and it talks about the way, and this emphasizes salvation, accepting Jesus. And it starts with a 10-year-old boy accepting Jesus, so even the children can understand it. And maybe you have neighbors and friends and you're not sure about their soul and it's hard to talk to them. You write and you get one of the, get as many of these heart of a shepherd that you want, and you send a free will offering. And if you don't have much, then don't send much. If you don't have anything, if you're in prison and you don't have anything, you write and we'll send it free and postpaid. Somebody else will help us with it. We'll get along. And so this wonderful story of the wonderful saving grace of Jesus Christ, the heart of a shepherd, you write. And I'll give you the address in just a few minutes. But first, we have to have a sermon. Always have to have a sermon. And people says, oh, those sermons are so long. Well, my sermons aren't long, really. They're really kind of short. They're not long. They just seem like a long time. So just stay with us. You'll get a blessing because it's God's word. So you can't help but get a blessing. And I've entitled my sermon today, A Walk with the King. I don't walk with a king. I walk with the King. And I'll tell you who he is. John talks about him. He had a vision of him in the book of Revelation 19, verse 26. And he says, and he's talking about Jesus. And it says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I walked with him 87 years. 10 years old when I accepted Jesus. And I've drifted away. I wish I could say that I've been a perfect child, but I haven't. And I wouldn't dare say that. I wouldn't dare think that. And I've had my sins and I've had my driftings, but my wonderful King, my wonderful Savior Jesus, he's a shepherd and he always cares for me and he talks to me by his Holy Spirit and he convicts me of my sin and I come back and I ask him to forgive me and he forgives me. Because we're told in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I hear somebody says, well, how many times did you come back? Oh, in 87 years, I suppose maybe 10,000 times. Just 10,000 times. I thought it was only 7 times, not with God. God says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. Christianity is the only religion in the world that has grace. Grace and the love of God. And so Jesus tells us, if you fail, you come back and I'll forgive you. You get it back up and walk with me the best you can. And Jesus knows we're never going to be perfect in this life. And so we just ask for forgiveness and we serve him and we love him and we get along. And so I walk with this Jesus, this King. One reason that I do it is because he saved my soul. I was a lost soul. I was only 10 years old, but I had committed my sins, and I knew it. I'd failed the Lord. And I knew I hadn't lived up to the things that God wanted me to. And that preacher preached, and he says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That means if I steal one little green apple from the neighbor's yard, I've committed a sin. The Lord knew I've done that. He knew how many little green apples, I don't know. Should have died of a stomachache, but I never did, just got by. Took those from that neighbor. Well, so then when I come to Jesus and I tell him I'm sorry for my sins, and because God tells us, he says that the wages of sin, that because when we sin, you get paid. And the wages of sin is death. That means eternal death. That means hell. That's what it's talking about, hell. But he says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The gift of God is given to us not by what we've done, not by works, and not being good and all that. Because the gift of God is given through Jesus Christ, faith in the Lord Jesus. And so then what did he do? He saved me. And what does that mean? That means that I pray, dear Jesus. I remember it as if it was last night. And I just said, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to take my sins away. And I'll live for you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. 10-year-old kid, didn't know up from down, but I knew I was a sinner. And the next day, I didn't get goose pimples or anything like that, just a contract with God. But the next day, I just knew that I seemed like all my sins were right off of my shoulders. And when I made that prayer, he cleansed me from my sin, washed all my sin away for all time, not just up until that day, but as long as I live, they're all paid in full. And he washed them away, and he accepted me as his son. And he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he made me a child of God. And he saved my soul. He did that all in 1 second's time. And that's what he wants to do. And he tells us in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. That second, that minute. And that 10-year-old boy, I didn't know anything about that. But he did all those things for me. And I belong to him. And we're also told that in John 6:37, Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to him, he will never turn you away. And you say, oh, you don't know my sins. And I had one woman tell me one time, she says, I've got so many sins that if you baptized me, the water would turn black. She thought somehow baptism washed away sin, but it doesn't. It's the blood of Jesus Christ washes away sin. See, and so Jesus tells us in John 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And you say, yes, I want Jesus. I know I got a lot of sins, and I want to go to heaven. And I want Jesus. If he's the way to heaven, I want Jesus. But I don't know how to accept him. How do you accept him anyway? Well, if your neighbor knocks on your door, how do you accept him? You open the door and say, come in. So in Revelation, we're told, Jesus tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart, the door of your life. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I'll come in. One little boy's name was Keith, and he was at a summer camp. He's maybe 10, 12 years old. And I give him that verse, and he says, what if I ask him to come in and he won't come in? And I give him that verse, I will come in. He wants to come in. He wants to come into your life. And I don't care what your sin is, he'll wash it away. And so I walk with the King, and it all started when I accepted the Lord. But now here's something that happens when you accept the Lord and you become his child. He does something. See, he's a good parent, and a good parent teaches his children how to live and how to behave and how to walk. And so Jesus walks with us and he talks with us. And then it tells us he scourgeth every son for the whom the Lord loveth. He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That is, he's going to spank us when we're sinning and sin against him, and when we're not living the Christian life, and when we're drifting away, and we're going to get into trouble, and he sees that we're in trouble. He chastens us. And sometimes we're so too selfish, and he has to chasten us and teach us to be more sharing. Sometimes we hold grudges, and he has to chasten us. You've got to forgive. And you have to love the Lord. And so he worked with us all the time. And that's all given to us in Hebrews chapter 12. Now that's going to come. You see what we read? He, the Lord, loveth, he chasteneth, he scourgeth every child he receives. So we're not perfect. And if we've got any sense in our head, we are not perfect. And so he tries to make us better. Now, when those things happen, when he scourges us, when he spanks us, we can do one of three things. First thing we can do, we can get mad. We get mad. I had a lady that got mad at God, and she says, I'll never go to church again. And so far as I know, she never did. I've called on her several times when I was a young pastor and calling on her. She was mad at God, and I'll tell you why she was mad at God. It was in the Depression years. And they lost their farm. And she says, we always gave a tithe and we didn't work on Sunday and we went to church and we lost our farm and I'm done with God. That's what she said. You know what? Our family, we lost our farm too. And my mother was a Christian. My dad didn't know the Lord. And so my mother, we read in the Bible where Jesus says, where two of you agree in my name, I will do it. And so we prayed, the two of us, mother and I, prayed we wouldn't lose our farm, but we lost our farm. We had to move. And I remember I says, well, mother says we wouldn't lose it. And my mother says, I don't know, but I know he's God and he does the right thing. Well, we found out later that Jesus said, I'll do it, but it has to be according to my will. And that makes sense because supposing there's two men in love with the same woman, and what are they going to do, have a duel? They're Christian men, and both of them want to marry this girl. And so what's God going to do, cut her in half or something? It's impossible for two men to marry the same woman. I guess that I don't know in this day and age what is happening, but it's impossible. And so God knows that, and so we pray, thy will be done. We say, dear Jesus, save our farm, but thy will be done. So don't get mad. Something happened in your life. Don't get mad. The second thing you can do is when this happens, it says, and he says, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. That is, don't faint. That is, don't throw up your hands like a big old baby and say, oh, this didn't work out. And we lost our farm and we did this and something happened. And I just go, oh, I'm not mad at God, but I'm just done. I just give up, you know. Bully for you. Are you ever something to write about? I'm just not going to serve him. You're a big baby, see? And the writer of Hebrews says, don't you faint. Don't just throw in the towel and say, because some little thing, maybe in your church, something happened, you didn't like it, little old you, and you got mad and you quit. Well, get right back where you belong. That's what you need to do. Just stay with it and walk with the Lord. And the third thing is, it says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees. It is, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. He says, take a new grip on the tired hands. That is, when these things happen, then you just redouble your efforts and you just lift up your head and you say, I don't understand it, Lord. And I don't know why it's happening this way, but I know, dear Jesus, I know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And I know when we get to heaven, we'll see and it'll all make sense and we'll understand it. And oh, Jesus, I'm sorry we have to move. And I remember when we moved, we had 30 days to get off that farm. We lived 10 years on that farm. Had 30 days to find another farm and move off. We hauled things at night sometimes to get everything off. And so when those things come, you just say, I know there's a reason and a purpose for it. And when Jesus said, when we get to heaven, you'll understand these things. But in this life, we go by faith and not by sight. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we just say, dear Jesus, your will be done. And I'm loving you and I'm serving you and I'm letting God be God. And I'm happy in the way. Paul the apostle had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed to God to take it away. And God says, no, Paul, I'm not going to take that thorn away. And so Paul could have done one of those things. He could have gotten mad and been mad at God. Here, I serve you, Lord. I've been stoned for you and I've been in shipwreck for you. And they scourged me 39 times, save one. And I've gone all those things. And then this is what you do to me. You make me sick. And you don't heal me, and I'm done. That's all I am. Or he could have sat in the corner and says, poor me. I did all that for Jesus, and that's look what he did for me. Gave me a thorn in my rear end or whatever. I don't know where he had it, but he had a thorn in the flesh. But what did Paul say? I glory in my infirmity. I glory in it. I hold it up like a banner because this is God's will for my life. And there may be some of you going through some hard times now, and you don't understand why they should come upon you. It just doesn't make sense. I'm going to tell you, friends, you don't have to live too long in this world, and something's going to happen that just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And when those things come, you say, "Dear Jesus, I know you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know you could have kept that from happening, or you could have brought it to pass, or whatever the thing might be, but you didn't. And so, Jesus, I love you. You're my King. You're my Savior, the Lord of Lords. And I'm willing to go through the fiery furnace, and I'm willing to go to the lion's den, and I'm willing to do anything, dear Jesus, because I love you. And you are my King, and you are my Savior. And so you can do whatever you want with me, and I'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name." You need to do that. But listen, friends, you can't do any of this unless you have Jesus in your heart. You see, you can't do it in your own strength. You can't love your neighbor as yourself in your own strength. Some of these neighbors, Lord, have mercy. But Jesus says, you love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I need help on that. Now, I've got some good neighbors. They may be tuned in or something. So I want them to know I sure like my neighbors. But maybe you got a neighbor that, oh, boy, if you see, they would move or something, maybe even die, but just get out of here. But Jesus says, I'll help you, but you can't do it by yourself, see? So you ask Jesus into your life, and he comes into your life. Maybe your spouse just went to heaven, and you think you can't go another day. And then you talk to Jesus, and day by day, he'll help you. He'll never give you the help ahead of time. He won't give you the help behind time. He'll always be on time. Corrie Ten Boom tells about that. She loved her father so much. And once a day, she called him Papa. She says, "Papa, I don't know what I'm going to do, how I'm going to get along when God takes you home. I just don't know what I'll do." And her father said to her, "Corrie, when we go on the trip on that train, when do I give you the ticket for the pass?" And she says, "Will you give it to me when we get on the train, when we're ready to go on the trip? Right then you give it to me." And she says, that's what God will do. He won't give you the strength ahead of time, and he won't give you the strength behind time. But when you need it, he will do that. I can tell you from experience of the death of my wife, Beulah. I had her service, and I didn't know how I could ever do it, but God just never had the strength yesterday, didn't have it the next day, but I had it when I needed it. When you come to die, you'll get special grace, and he'll be there, and the Savior will be there. Jesus himself will come to take you, and you'll be. And right now, if you're lonely and if you're discouraged, Jesus is there. Maybe some of you young people, some of you children, you say, "I don't know what to do in life, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know who I'll marry, and I don't know what business I'll be in." Well, you just trust Jesus, see, and you just you love the Lord today, and they love the Lord tomorrow. And when you get there down the road, when that time comes and you have to decide, am I going to be a pastor? Am I going to be a farmer? Going to be a teacher? What am I going to be? You'll know. He'll let you know. And you lean on him, that wonderful, wonderful Jesus. But you have to have him in your heart. And he'll never be in your heart till you ask him into your heart. Ask Jesus, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please wash them away in the blood of the Lamb. Just wash them away. And I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus." Now, if you did that prayer, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to get the new song, it's a little Bible study this month. It's about a little Bible study, Almost a Christian, but not a Christian, Almost a Christian. And I'll even tell you what his name is. His name is Cornelius. So, I got a neighbor named Cornelius. No, this isn't Cornelius. Lived 2,000 years ago, so don't peg anybody. But that little Bible study's new. Every month, you'll love it. Christian Worship Hour. and call for the new song. If you'd like to give us a gift, we have to have your help, which is like James says, you have not because you ask not. So we're asking you. We're just telling you that we have to, you just need to pray, Lord, should I support this as a ministry I should support? And he says, no, give it somewhere else. Then do that. But if he says, yes, help him, then you say, how much? And then you say, what's that again, did you say? I don't know what he'll say. I don't know what he'll tell you. But for 40 years, that's the way we lived. And God just laid on God's people. We're not supported by any organization or corporation or anything like that. It's just the gifts of God's people. And we're in our 40th year. And we're going until Jesus tells to stop. And then we'll stop. Christian Worship Hour. Here it is. I'm going to give it again to all our shortwave people because they can't see the screen. Shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And this, we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they check our books, and we're clean as a hound's tooth. Now, I want to pray for you. In our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church, and we're praying for the church in Mexico. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your people. Thank you for all the multitudes that opened their heart and prayed today. Isn't that glorious? And oh, may they write and let us know so we can pray with them and rejoice with them. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church in Mexico. People are dying there. They're losing their homes. They're losing their churches. And so help them to know that you are with them and that we're praying for them and we are better Christians. When we see them make their stand, we make our stand. And so we pray for the dear brothers and sisters in Mexico. Pray for the children. Pray for the shut-ins. May your wonderful word comfort and help. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so you write to us now. We need to hear from you. And pray for us. And we'll pray for you. And always remember the message of the gospel is God loves you. He hates your sin and he can't take it into heaven, but he'll forgive you if you ask him to, and you won't have any sins, and you'll be in heaven, and we'll all be together. And God loves you, and don't forget the Christian Worship Hour. We have volunteer people help us all the time, and we do it because we love you, and I love you, folks, and I wish I could preach better, and I wish I could make it plainer, but I'm a human being and a weak one at that. So just listen to the word of God and everything will be all right. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.